Psalms 86, 1-13. Lord, listen closely to me and answer me, because I am poor and in need. Guard my life, because I am faithful. Save your servant who trusts in you, you, my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, because I cry out to you all day long. Make your servant's life a happy again, because, my Lord, I offer my life to you. Because, my Lord, you are good and forgiving, full of faithful love for all those who cry out to you. Listen closely to my prayer, Lord. Pay close attention to the sound of my requests for mercy. Whenever I am in trouble, I cry out to you, because you will answer me.
My Lord, there is no one like you among the gods. There is nothing that can compare to your works. All the nations that you've made will come and bow down before you, Lord. They will glorify your name because you are awesome and a wonder worker. You are God, just you. Teach me your way, Lord, so that I can walk in your truth. Make my heart focused only on honoring your name. I give thanks to you, my Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever, because your faithful love toward me is awesome, and because you've rescued my life from the lowest part of hell.
And Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is open.
Lord bless you, Steve.
I'm going to tell the story from Ruth chapter 3. If you want to follow along in your Bible, feel free to do that. We were singing a song about a Redeemer, Jesus our Redeemer. And we sang the familiar part, and we got to a part that's not as familiar, and we didn't have words, and we were about to stop. But then someone came to our rescue from the back, and we had words again, and we could continue and sing. That gives you just a little taste of what a Redeemer is. When we're struggling, floundering, needing release from someone, the Redeemer steps up and gives that release and new life and new hope. So, listen for that in the story today, from Boaz, the Redeemer. But we've been going through Ruth, and Ruth is four chapters. It's basically four acts of this story. The first chapter, we learned that Ruth and her two daughters-in-law became widows, didn't have much hope or security, but found out that God was showing favor back home in Bethlehem. Again, there was a good harvest, so they decided to return home. Ruth wanted to send her daughters-in-law back to their own families and to find a new husband, but Ruth was adamant that she would stay by Naomi's side. But Naomi returns to Bethlehem and says, "Don't call me Naomi," which means joyful and full of delight. Call me Mara, which means bitter, because I went away full and I came back empty. So that's where we're left after chapter one, or act one. Act two is all about someone stepping forward to provide for their daily needs, and that was Boaz. And Boaz, as Ruth went out to glean, as a poor person would, just to gather stuff along the edge, Boaz went above and beyond his responsibility. His responsibility was allow her to glean, but he stepped forward to this relative's daughter-in-law and said, come and have a meal with us. You can actually pick from the sheaves. And he told his workers, dump extra stuff for Ruth. And Ruth, you can follow along behind the women are my servants. And so just he went above and beyond to provide for them. But as we get to chapter 3, they need more than just daily provision. These two widows need some kind of deeper security. And so that's where that's where we're at here. Naomi, her mother-in-law says to Ruth, "My daughter, shouldn't I seek security for you so that things might go well for you?" Basically, that means, can we find a husband for you under whom you can find care and provision and security for the rest of your life? That was the social order of the day. Now, isn't Boaz, whose young women you were with, our relative? Relatives have certain responsibilities, as we have learned. Tonight he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. And don't just think about this as there's work to be done at the threshing floor. The harvest came in, the barley harvest, and we learned that this God's really been showing favor to Bethlehem, to Judea, and providing for them lots abundant harvest. And so it's not only a time we got to get this barley harvested or threshed now, separating the grain from the chaff, but it's a time to celebrate. We had this abundant harvest. We're going to celebrate even as we anticipate the work of winnowing this barley. So Naomi says to Ruth, "You should bathe, put on some perfume, wear nice clothes, and go down to the threshing floor." They've been celebrating. You know, we know that because Naomi says, "Don't make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking, and when he lies down, notice the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." So just a couple of thoughts here. It's possible Naomi saw in her relative there's some kind of an attraction here. Boaz really seems to be looking with favor towards my daughter-in-law, but he seems to be slow to act, you know, to step forward to be her and our Redeemer. So, you know, let's take the initiative here. And so for the second time in this story, Ruth takes initiative and courageously steps out to do, first to go to the harvest field and now to go to the threshing floor. This is a very risky thing to do. First of all, for a woman to go down to the threshing floor, also especially a foreigner, a Moabite woman to do that. She had to be carrying two assumptions that she hoped would be true. One is that, in fact, Boaz does seem to be favorably inclined towards me. And secondly, I trust that he's a man of character and he will carry out his responsibility as our family redeemer. So that's what she's going in with those hopes and those assumptions. So she went down to the threshing floor. She did everything her mother-in-law had ordered. Boaz ate and drank, and he was in a good mood. He went over to lie down by the edge of the grain pile. Then she quietly approached, uncovered his legs, and lay down. During the middle of the night, the man shuddered and turned over, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. She replied, "I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread out your robe over your servant because you are a redeemer." Stop there for a moment. It was a typical posture of a servant to lay at the feet of the master, hoping maybe to get some of the covering as well. It also would have been a place of humility at the feet of the master. There's this note that we see here. Ruth says, "Cover me with your cloak. You are my redeemer." Not just, "I'm cold, cover me," but that was what a husband would do to the wife. "Cover me with your love. Cover me with your protection. Cover me with your provision, with the security that you can provide for us." And And Boaz, just the chapter before, had said something similar where, praise you, Ruth, for your faithfulness to your mother-in-law. May God bless you and reward you. The God under whose wings you have come to take refuge. As you've come with Naomi to Bethlehem, he's declaring she must be making this journey to come under the wings of refuge, of protection, of care under Naomi's God. So we have that idea of under the wings, under this cloak, there is a place of care and protection and provision and security and love. So Ruth puts it out there. What's interesting is Naomi says, Ruth, go lay at his feet. He'll tell you what to do. She goes, she lays at his feet, but it's Ruth that takes the initiative here. Cover me with your cloak. You are my redeemer. Okay. So what's Boaz going to do? How's he going to respond to that? Boaz says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have acted even more faithfully than you did at first. You haven't gone after rich or poor young men, but you've come after me, an older man. That could be translated or thought of in a number of ways. The way she was faithful at first was to Naomi, to accompany her and say, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your God will be my God, your people, my people. This even greater act of kindness could have been to a number of people. Again, towards Naomi, because as Ruth finds security in Boaz, that will also translate to Naomi. She's also showing kindness to her late husband, because now she can continue his line that was broken in his death with no children. It's also kindness towards Boaz. You could have chosen these young men, but you chose me. And so he is grateful. And now, my daughter, Boaz says, don't be afraid. I will do for you everything you ask. Indeed, my people, all who are at the gate, know that you are a woman of worth. At the gate is where these decisions are made, you know, about who's going to redeem and so forth. But they all know you as a woman of worth. Again, last chapter, Boaz was described as a man of worth, a man of significance, whether that would be because of his wealth or because of his valor or because of his character. But he was a man of substance. Everybody knew that. Ruth is now described that same way. As we'll see, they're going to be the part of that lineage towards David and towards Jesus. But here are this noble couple. Ruth is never in this book described as one of those Moabite women that we're supposed to stay away from because they're going to lead us towards their foreign gods. She's always highly esteemed as this foreign woman. And again, here Boaz recognizes that again. Now, although it's certainly true that I am a redeemer, and again, these kinsmen redeemer, these close relatives who could step up when someone's fallen into poverty, maybe they've become a servant of another because of the debt that they have, or they've lost their land because of their poverty. A close relative steps up and says, I will take care of things. I will buy back and redeem whatever has been lost so that it can be returned to this person and to our family. And so, although it's certainly true that I'm a redeemer, I'm a close relative, there is a redeemer who's closer than I am. Stay the night here, and in the morning, if he'll redeem you, good, let him redeem. But if he doesn't want to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I myself will redeem you. It's like, as much as it's up to me, you can count on me to be a redeemer. She goes home, Ruth goes home to Naomi, and Boaz says before she leaves, no one should know that a woman has come to the threshing floor. Bring your cloak that you have one and hold it out. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and sent her home with that. Again, being very generous towards Ruth. She comes to her mother-in-law who said, how are you, my daughter?
How'd it go? You know. So Ruth told her everything the man had done for her. And she said, he gave me these 6 measures of barley. And he said to me, don't go away empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Sit tight, my daughter, Naomi replied, until you know how it turns out. The man won't rest until he resolves the matter today. So we have here, first of all, Ruth saying, I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread out your cloak over your servant because you are a redeemer. We have this bold request that she makes of Boaz, but it's bold, but she's also coming very vulnerably and humbly. So as we're thinking about, as we're trying to translate this to our own lives and we're thinking about our bold request to our Redeemer, it's a bold request, but she's presenting herself in a very vulnerable and humble position, trusting in that Redeemer. And then the next slide, we have Boaz, the Redeemer, and just the resolve, as much as it's up to me, I will be your Redeemer. And Naomi knows this. Boaz, he's not going to rest until he takes care of this. When we think about our Redeemer, Jesus, just thinking he will not rest until he acts as my Redeemer. He already went to the greatest extent in his death and resurrection. So that's what we want to, that's especially what I want to take out of this story today. First of all, Ruth's position, which is our position before the Redeemer, in our vulnerability, in our humility, we come before our Redeemer, but we do it boldly, trusting that Jesus will in fact do whatever it takes to be our Redeemer. So again, I don't think I have slides for this, but a redeemer is in general someone who's entrusted to secure someone's release. In this case, it's releasing Ruth and Naomi from their poverty, from their lost land, from all that they lost when they lost their husbands. But it's securing someone's release from oppression, from harm, from enslavement, or some other kind of binding obligation, released from that. And I took notice of the word binding obligation that we might have, something we're bound to and obligated towards. For whatever reason, this image came to my mind of getting a new job and the boss saying, I'll give you this job, but you have to watch my bratty son all day while you're working. And so as you're trying to get your work done, he's in your file cabinet, throwing papers around, dumping your pencil jar, whatever, you know, and you're thinking, I can't work like this. I need to be freed from this, you know? So just a simple, illustration, but that sense of something we're bound to that we can't seem to find release from ourselves. Who will come to my rescue and release me from that? A redeemer restored the lost rights and freedoms, restores the lost rights and freedoms of another, avenging any wrongs and paying whatever price is necessary. When I think of Jesus as our redeemer, avenging our wrongs, especially breaking those powers that keep us in submission so we can't find the life and the forgiveness that he wants to offer us, breaking that power, breaking those strongholds. And paying whatever price is necessary for us to find that release. I think about Jesus showing up on the scene, open up the scroll to Isaiah and saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to lift off heavy oppressive loads off of those who are being oppressed. Coming forward as, here I am. He could have said, the Lord has anointed me to be redeemer, you know, to give release to people in the ways that they need release to be reconciled to God. That same kind of redemption is attributed to God as he frees the Israelites from bondage in Egypt. He steps forward as their redeemer and gives them freedom towards finding fellowship with God again in the promised land. There's three scriptures I want to look at just to give us an idea of Jesus, our redeemer. First one, John, can you turn? Yeah. From Revelation 1:5. Jesus Christ, this is this declaration made about Jesus. Jesus is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. So I just wanted to highlight that. Not only is he a redeemer, but he does it out of great love. In the story, Boaz doesn't just step forward because it's my responsibility to be redeemer, but you sense that there's a love of a favor shown towards Ruth in this story. There's something more personal than just, I guess I have to fulfill these responsibilities as redeemer. The second one is, this is in Mark chapter 10, James and John want these high positions of glory amongst the followers of Jesus. And when the 10 others hear it, they're indignant. So Jesus calls them all together and says, you know that those who are regarded as, rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Whoever wants to become great must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Redeemer pays whatever price is necessary to bring that release to those he's redeeming. And then the third one is in Colossians 1, this is part of Paul's prayer for that church. And he concludes it by saying, we're giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he's rescued us, or he's redeemed us, released us from the dominion of darkness, and he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus, our Redeemer. So we can approach Jesus and just like Ruth, recognize our vulnerable position, our need for a Savior. But yet we can do it with boldness. We heard Psalm 86, and part of the scriptures that we heard earlier were scriptures about making requests to God. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. We're going to work through Psalm 86, the part we looked at. Yellow means this is us. It's David, but as we, you know, pray these words as well, these are our words of bold request made to our Redeemer. Lord, listen closely to me and answer me because I'm poor and in need. Vulnerability, humility, but boldly coming before the Redeemer. Guard my life because I'm faithful. Save your servant who trusts in you. You, my God, have mercy on me, Lord, because I cry out to you all day long. And keep going. Make your servant's life happy again because, my Lord, I offer my life to you. Green is the assurance that God is Redeemer. Because, my Lord, you are good and forgiving, full of faithful love for all those who cry out to you. A request. Listen closely to my prayer, Lord. Pay close attention to the sound of my requests for mercy. The assurance. Whenever I'm in trouble, I cry out to you because you will answer me. My Lord, there's no one like you among the gods. There's nothing that can compare with your works. All the nations that you've made will come and they'll bow down before you, Lord. They will glorify your name because you are awesome and a wonder worker. You are God, just you. A request. Teach me your ways, Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Make my heart focused only on honoring your name. Because, faithful as Redeemer. I give thanks to you, my Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever because your faithful love your hesed, that faithful love that we keep reading about in Ruth, Ruth towards her mother-in-law, Boaz towards Ruth, you know, your faithful love towards me is awesome. And because you've rescued my life from the lowest part of hell, you've raised me up from the deepest depths. You are my redeemer. So that's part of Psalm 68. So just to think about this a little more closely for ourselves, again, a redeemer secures someone's release. When we have these binding obligations, God, or Jesus is our redeemer who avenges our wrong, the wrongs against us, or he breaks the power that's binding us, and he does whatever's necessary to release us. So think, for us to think about, what are binding obligations that we need a redeemer, that we need Jesus to come and be redeemer for our lives. Maybe it's that we feel like that we're still in the dominion of darkness and we need to be freed into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son, Jesus, that God loves. It might be that we need to find release from these thoughts and these identities that we carry about ourselves, these false ideas of who we are, or that maybe other people have assigned to us that diminish us and don't allow us to see the gifts and the fact that we are loved by God. Maybe that needs to be broken and we need to find release from that. Maybe it's habitual sins, these sins that we just seem so vulnerable to fall into. But we trust the Redeemer can forgive and release us from the power of those sins in our life. Unjust treatment or abuse. You know, we learn in Ruth's story, again, that God really cares about the widow, the orphan, the immigrants. How are we either experiencing that, or how can we join Jesus in being a redeemer for those who are facing unjust treatment? Addictions, depression, fears that we hold, loneliness, failing health. For me, one thing that I wrote down this week is I need release from busyness, distraction, and avoidance that keeps me from rich communion with God, and hinders my life. So what is it for you that, a binding obligation, something that you need Jesus to step forward and you entrust that to him and he becomes your redeemer. And as we find release from these things, as we experience Jesus' redemption, we celebrate our redeemer. Just like they celebrated the provision of the barley harvest. We can also celebrate even more so our security that we find and the freedom we find in Jesus. So I'd like to end this way. Joe Miller last week encouraged us at times to in our worship, while we're communally worshiping, have some times where we also have some personal reflection and worship. I want to just give a little bit of silence for us to prayerfully think about that question. Like, what do I need to find release from in my life to offer to Jesus, my Redeemer? And then I'm going to play a song, that just celebrates that Jesus is Redeemer. In the song, Jesus, the word's going to be Savior, but that seems to be that same attribution of Redeemer. So think about Jesus as a Redeemer. So we'll have a little bit of silence, and then I'll just cue you, John, to start the song. And this is a way to celebrate Jesus, our Redeemer. Okay. Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, you are our Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. You are the one who releases us and secures our release from all those things that bind us, those obligations that we have that are not part of your kingdom. You release us, you free us so that we can walk with you and work with you. You avenge the wrongs done against us. You break the power and the strongholds that keep us from knowing you. You do what's ever necessary to pay the price of our redemption. You will never stop working to secure our release. And we praise you for that. We thank you for how we can see that in Boaz and understand that we ourselves can be a reflection of that redeeming love in our own lives. So we ask, Lord, whatever it is for each of us that we need your powerful release from, Lord, may you prove to be our powerful Redeemer. And would you send us out to join in your work of bringing your redeeming love and power to this world? Thank you. We praise you, Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.